Tim Murphy joins me now from a radio car. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
There'll be some long faces around at that conference. What are you going to say to them?
Well, this is an important conference. You're right in saying it's the first conference I have been as leader. We're going to set out the real difference between ourselves and the Conservative Party. Actually, in a world where people say politicians are all the same, the gap in policy terms between Labour and Tory is the biggest it's been for very many years. And the second thing is that in 2 months' time, Scotland will decide whether Britain has a second term of David Cameron and a decade of austerity. This really is in Scotland's hands, and that's one of the messages I think that we'll hear more of between now and election day, because Scots have the power to remove David Cameron from office, because, look, the Tory party can't save David Cameron in Scotland. The Tory party isn't strong enough. Only the SNP can save David Cameron, because it's them that are talking about taking seats off the Labour Party.
Yeah, I don't see how that works, SNP, though.
Just finally on this, Bill, any seat the SNP take off the Labour Party is a big step closer for David Cameron holding on to power, because the biggest party forms the government.
Well, that's not the case, though, is it? It's actually the previous Prime Minister that gets the chance to form a government, and then it devolves to other people. But if the biggest party can do that, if rather the previous governing party can do that, then that's it. It doesn't matter who's the largest party.
Well, Bill, when's the last time a party that wasn't the biggest party didn't form the government?
But the Cabinet Office briefing papers say, Bill, there isn't a time.
So the fact is, let's be really clear.
The rules are clear that it's the Prime Minister, David Cameron, who gets the first chance to form a government after May's election. You've got to accept that.
But to respond, the fact is that since there's been universal adult suffrage in the UK, the biggest party gets to form the government. Since long before the Second World War, whichever party gets the most seats in the House of Commons forms the government. And the opinion poll yesterday showed that Labour and Tory are tied at 272 seats each. Now, that's figuring in the opinion polls in Scotland, which I accept are bloody awful for the Scottish Labour Party and really pretty brilliant for David Cameron, because at 272 versus 272, every single Scot has the future of Britain in their hands, and each and every seat that Labour can win in Scotland gives us a chance of being the biggest party, forming a government, introducing things like an £8 minimum wage and turning our back on a decade of Tory austerity.
Yeah, that message may have worked at a time when SNP inclined voters
might not have got an SNP MP.
But the point is, if they are inclined to vote SNP, they can vote SNP and get an SNP MP.
Well, they may. In those, the message clearly hasn't worked, Bill, because you look at these opinion polls, and the fact is, there's still a long way to go in this election. We have 2 months to go. And you're right, people have a choice of candidates to vote for. I'm proud of our candidates standing in our seats. But yes, they can vote for an SNP MP, and that might be what they get. But in voting for an SNP MP, you'll end up with a Tory PM, because the SNP aren't going to form the government. They only stand in our part of the United Kingdom. And if you want things like an £8 minimum wage, if you want a wage increase for
half a million Scots and a living wage, they could form a coalition with Labour.
The only way to do that is to vote Labour. The SNP have already ruled out a coalition with Labour.
Would you rule out working with the SNP?
Bill, it's already been ruled out by the SNP. The way Labour gets back into this contest and the way in which we win the election in Scotland isn't a perpetual circular conversation about what happens after the election. It's about talking in people's lives now, today. The fact that so many mums and dads go to work and they can't afford to balance the books and feed their kids. They can't afford to put money by for a rainy day. If their fridge broke, they wouldn't be able to buy a new one. So those ideas of a national minimum wage of £8 an hour, the worries that people have about the National Health Service, what are Labour going to do about it? There's a lot. It's complicated. The biggest issue is
on the business of coalition, I hear what you're saying. I know you're trying to put forward some of those policies. We know what the policies are, but on the business of what you're going to do after the election.
On the business of the National Health Service, well, I'm not going to speculate what's going to happen after the election. I'm in the business of winning this election.
Plenty others do. Another of your backbenchers, Gisela Stewart, has said that there should be a grand coalition with the Conservatives. Would you rule that out?
Well, Gisela's talking nonsense, but look, I'm not getting involved
well, so,
in what's happening after
the
election.
You're the leader of Scottish Labour, you're the leader of the Scottish MPs, would you tell them not to go along with those sort of plans?
Although, Bill, you know that's a silly idea from a Member of Parliament in Birmingham who doesn't really mean it. It was a throwaway comment and that's not going to happen. But how do you get back into this contest? It's about things. The biggest issue for Scots is the National Health Service. We can't afford David Cameron and a further £2.7 billion worth of cuts to the Scottish budget. And
the National Health Service is devolved to Scotland. It's a Holyrood matter.
But you're exactly right. But what happens is if David Cameron cuts UK government spending even deeper, it has a massive effect on Scotland because of the way in which the funding system works. We all know that. So when it comes to the National Health Service, Scottish Labour has a plan. It's not everybody's cup of tea or plan, but we will, on those houses worth over £2 million across the UK, we will introduce a mansion tax. We will use that money to fund Scotland's NHS. The first thing we'll do is have 1,000 more nurses in Scotland. That's the type of concrete, imaginative idea that the people of Scotland...
That's a decision for the Holyrood Parliament, of which, of course, you're not part, but you've promised to be the leader at Holyrood in next year's 2016 election. How are you actually going to do that? Because you're also standing obviously, for Westminster in Eastwood this year. Does that mean you're only there for a year?
Well, we'll take that one election at a time and I'll tell my constituents first, but I can guarantee that, Bill. The mansion tax is part of our manifesto for the election in May. It's a tax across the whole of the United Kingdom. Most of the money comes from London and the southeast of England, of course, where more of these houses are. There's less than 1,000 houses in Scotland worth over £2 million, but as the first part of that spending, there'll be 1,000 more nurses in Scotland. Those are the types of real differences.
How are you going to get into Holyrood?
The SNP can't introduce a mansion tax because it's a UK-wide tax, and the Tories wouldn't introduce a mansion tax because
you can't force them to. You can't force them to appoint 1,000 nurses either. But just to get back to the business of how you're going to get to Holyrood, you don't want to speak about that for a year, but you've surely got a responsibility to the voters of Eastwood to tell them A, how long you're going to be their MP, and B, how you're going to become, as you say, the leader of Labour or even First Minister at Holyrood.
Well, Bill, I'll tell my constituents first, and well, a lot of folk listen to Good Morning Scotland, of course, not all of my constituents do, so of course I would tell them first. But look, this interview
well,
for
are you going to swap
I don't
jobs?
Blame you. Bill,
no, are you going to swap jobs with
Bill,
the MSP,
Bill,
with Ken McIntosh?
Interview can be about my job, or it can be about what happens after the election. Much more interesting to real people is what are you going to do if we win the election? Not continually talking about what happens after the election. And the fact is that we've had 5 years of David Cameron and his failed austerity, where working people are getting poorer and they're struggling to make ends meet. We need a change.
Sure.
Well,
how many?
In Scotland's hands.
Yeah.
That's in Scotland's hands because Scotland will decide what happens at this general election.
Okay. And you've said in the past that you think that you will increase the number of Labour MPs. I take it from what you're saying about how awful these polls are for you that you don't agree with that now. How many MPs in Scotland do you think you'll have?
Well, we're working to hold on to every one of our seats. I'm going to campaign in each of those constituencies all across Scotland because every seat that Labour can win in Scotland is a seat closer to David Cameron losing office. Because when the polls yesterday show, it's probably unprecedented. 272 seats versus 272 seats is what the opinion polls say across Great Britain. So everybody, when a Labour candidate comes and knocks on the door, knows that voting for that individual Labour candidate can take the balance to 273 versus 272. And then you have Labour as the biggest party,
okay.
And then we can have
we've
a Labour government.
We've gone over the stuff about biggest parties before. But we've gone over that, but I'm sure that'll come up again.
Every election's a second world war, the biggest party forms a government. And right. Labour in Scotland has a chance to make that happen.
Jim Murphy, thanks very much.